I'd like to read three passages of scripture, dear friends. The first is in Psalm 8. Psalm 8 and verse 3. When I see thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? John 3 and 16. Very well known passage of scripture. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. And finally, dear friends, in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, for we being still without strength, in the due time Christ has died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the just man will one die, for perhaps for the good man someone might also dare to die. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. Much rather, therefore, having been now justified in the power of his blood, we shall be saved by him from wrath. I read this first scripture because I was struck yesterday in reading the paper that someone had written an article, and the title of that article was, "We all know the story of the crucifixion, but how much is myth and how much is reality?" And I just thought that man is getting very bold and very out of his place, you might say, in relation to God. In the scripture here, we see that man is very, very little in comparison to the world around him. Think of the creation and the vastness of it. Reminded last week in Blair of the stars, and each one being given a name. I can't tell you how many stars there are in the Milky Way. But, you know, the expanses of the heavens go on for infinity. There is no end to them. Man thinks that he is able to control everything and his hand is upon everything and that he's going to save the world, dear friends. It's not true, you know. God has set a time when he's going to destroy this earth and a new one will be created, and man thinks that he is able to do something about it. Man is very small, very minuscule in relation to all. But the other side is that God has been gracious and has come forward to man and has thought of man and given in the giving of his only begotten Son. What a wonderful God we have to do with, dear friends. One who created the heavens and the earth, moon and the stars, and yet he has been pleased, as it says in John 3, to give us his only begotten Son. What did he give his Son for, dear friends, but to die on Calvary's cross for you and for me? For God so loved the world. That's not the world that he created, that's men and women such as you and I, dear friends. Men and women who had gone far from God, who had rejected him, who had sinned, and were not worthy to be in his presence. He gave his only begotten Son. Friends, think of the wonderful giving of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think of that scene of glory that he came from, where he was honoured, where he was revered by all, and yet he was prepared in love for you and for me to come to a world that had been marked by sin since Adam, to go to Calvary's cross, to take away your sin and mine, that whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. It's wonderful, dear friends. Whosoever. It's open to everyone tonight. I simply make an appeal to any heart in this room who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Saviour, that before this preaching's finished, before you walk out that door, that you may have the assurance of a personal link with a man in the glory, dear friends. One who loved you so much, he was prepared to go to Calvary's cross. We sung of it this morning, the first hymn, when all those waves and billows rolled over thy blessed head, dear friends. Think of each sin that was placed upon my Saviour's head. It's like the waves of the sea, you know. Again, we were mentioned last week. If you look at the sea and the rocks, and each wave comes along and covers the rock. But, you know, when that wave goes away, the rock is still standing. That's like my Saviour, dear friends. He took on the judgment that was due to you and to me. He exhausted that judgment. There is now nothing left to pay. The only thing that is required of you is to simply put your faith and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance only God requires from man, and faith in Christ, his well-beloved Son, dear friends. To put it reverently, dear friends, God has made it very easy in the glad tidings. It's nothing you have to do. There's no good works will get you into heaven, dear friends. Men think that charity work, or I've lived a good life, not been too bad. Gone to church every week, I've paid my money. I'm not like the man next door or the man that's gone to prison, dear friends. But one sin, enough to banish you from the presence of God for all eternity. That's all it took in the beginning, was one sin. Sin of disobedience, dear friends. But the blessed, wonderful thing is that tonight you have an opportunity to come to know the wonderful Saviour who took on your liability and mine upon Calvary's cross. Go to Romans 5 again. We being still without strength, you know, there was nothing in us that merited salvation, dear friends. There was nothing in us that deserves anything better than judgment. The Lord Jesus took that on for you and for me. The Lord Jesus was prepared to go that way, that all that would be left for us with a cup of blessing. The salvation that we can know, and the liberty that we can know as our sins forgiven. Think of his sufferings, dear friends, how affecting they are. The sufferings at the hand of men we were discussing this afternoon, you know. I've read that the scourging that was done with the whip killed a lot of people before they even got to the cross, you know. The hatred of man poured out upon my blessed Saviour. Think of what was the ridicule that was thrown at my blessed Saviour. Think of all that he went through in love for you and for me. You know, well said, that where need has brought you and me, love brought the Saviour, you know. The love of the Saviour that was prepared to take on everything, to take on the whole judgment of God for sin and for sins, that we might go free. You know, it's affecting to my heart, dear friends, that someone such as the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, sin apart from the womb, who was perfect, holy, the one in whom God could say, "This is my beloved Son in whom I have found my delight." Dear friends, it was such a one that went to Calvary's cross, that was prepared to be made sin for you and for me. You know, when the Lord Jesus was on that cross, suffering for sins in those 3 hours of darkness, God had to turn his back. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Communion that had never been broken before. Excuse me. The affecting nature of the Lord going to Calvary's cross, does it not affect your heart? God had to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ as if he had committed those sins, because he took them on for you and for me. Christ has died for the ungodly. No good in any of us, dear friends. It's the first start for everyone who comes to the Saviour, to acknowledge that you're a sinner in the sight of a holy and righteous God. There's no hope, dear friends, for you if you don't think that you're a sinner. No Saviour for somebody that doesn't think they're a sinner. It says in the Bible, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And in the Psalms, there is none righteous, no, not one. That was the type of people that Lord Jesus died for. For me, one who had committed many sins, and yet Lord Jesus was prepared to go that way for me. It's a very personal thing, the gospel. You know, it's between you and the Lord. You know, your parents would like to save you, would like to bring you that way, but the only thing that they can do is point you to the one. Come yourself, dear friends, there is no other way to come. There is one name given amongst men under heaven by which we must be saved, dear friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. It's the way into all the blessing. It's the way to have your sins forgiven. He's the one who has died for you. He's the one who shed his precious blood. Think of the power of that blood shed over 2,000 years ago, and yet power is still as great today as it was all those years ago. Think of the hatred of man, again, that cross, soldier coming along, seeing that Jesus was already dead. You know, you wonder what went through that soldier's mind. As he plunged that spear into the side of a dead Saviour, one who had completed the work. The work was finished, dear friends, the work is finished. Now there is nothing left for those who come to know him as their Saviour. There is no condemnation now. If you accept that the Lord Jesus Christ took on your sins and mine, and if you accept that you are a sinner, far from a righteous God, come simple repentance, come to the feet of Jesus, and find a friend that will never leave you. One who will stand by you forever. Indeed, and all the way home, Saviour, on that cross, he could cry. Firstly, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of the love of the Saviour, that even as the nails went through his hands and went through his feet, he was lifted up to die the most excruciating death has ever been devised. He could say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Think of how often that prayer has been answered. It's been answered in my heart. I trust it's been answered in the heart of everyone here tonight. And then, those 3 hours of darkness, once they were over, the atoning sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, he could cry, it is finished, dear friends. What? That wasn't a cry of weakness. That was a cry of triumph, you know. There's nothing left. We have to take hold of that fact, dear friends. There is no judgment left for the believer. And then that soldier. When man in hatred pierced thy side, thy love, thy blood, love's answer gave, you know. There was, you know, think of the blood and the water that flowed from a dead Saviour. One of the Calvary miracles, dear friends. Blood cannot flow from a dead man, but it flowed on the side of my beloved Saviour. That all who come under that blood, the shelter of that blood, are safe from all judgment. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Think of the type of the that we see in the Israelites coming out of Egypt. The door, the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. Sheltering underneath that blood, dear friends, you are safe for time, but also for eternity. When you come to Jesus, it's a decision you not only make for time, you make for eternity. Men are taken up with decisions that will have to be made for next year, or the year after, or next week. Dear friends, tonight is a well-accepted time. Today is a day of salvation. I cannot offer you another hour, another night, another day on this earth. This may be the last opportunity, dear friends. Some may come to that door next week and it will be shut and locked. For those who have believed, have gone to heaven to be with Jesus forever. What a wonderful prospect the believer has. Dear friends, we will be there on the merit of what Jesus has done. Justified in the power of his blood. You know, justified means, I think, being made righteous. We haven't been made righteous in anything that we have done. There's nothing that we can do to make us righteous. But yet, as sheltering underneath the precious blood of Jesus, God looks upon us as if we'd never sinned. What a wonderful thing that is to my heart, dear friends, that my past is settled, my future is secure, my presence is happy with the Lord. When you come to the Lord, you can have complete peace in your heart, that all that stood out against you as a sinner and far from God has been removed by what Christ has done. We shall be saved by him from wrath. Very solemn part of the glad tidings, dear friends, but necessary nonetheless. No one spoke about hell more in the Bible than the Lord Jesus when he was here on earth. The hell prepared for the devil and his angels, and where you will find yourself if you do not accept the free offer of salvation. It is offered tonight in grace by God. I think of how this gift offered free to us and yet rejected by so many. How God must feel about that, you know. If you offer somebody something for free, they don't take it, how offended would you be? But this is far greater than that, dear friends. The offer of salvation, God gave his only beloved son for you. The one who he loved and one whom he cherished. And yet he was prepared to give him up in death for you and for me, dear friends. But was death the end? Thanks be to his name, no. He is now arisen, glorious Saviour. God's right hand, crowned with glory and honour. Position that is rightfully his, dear friends. And where he now is able to save you, dear friends. He is waiting and he is willing, dear friends. All it requires is the movement on your part. You know, been well said, the handle to your heart is on the inside. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Dear friends, the Lord God wishes that none should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. It's wonderful, dear friends, the glad tidings. Indeed, there's not much good news in the world tonight, but that you can be free from all that binds you, dear friends, that weight of sin that presses upon your heart can be rolled away by coming to know Jesus as your own personal Saviour. I urge you tonight, dear friends, if you have not come to know the Saviour, that before you walk out that door, Jesus, that you may accept Jesus into your own heart. May the Lord bless the word.